the Rogue Soliloquies. All day, he'd been feeling poorly, wasn't sure if it was something he had eaten, but whatever it was, it had Bill feeling queasy and unsettled. Bill Hensley was a big strapping man with a redneck to match his flannel shirt and suspenders. He was as quiet as he was big, non-threatening, with a sweet disposition which many never discerned due to his immense girth and size. Bill was a supervisor on a construction site, and one thing that could get this gentle giant angry was anyone who laid about, shirking responsibilities and expecting others to pick up the slack. Bill was a taskmaster at work, a man willing to get his hands dirty while maintaining decorum in a safe, efficient workplace. However, Bill Hensley had skeletons in his closet. For one, Bill Hensley was not his real name. On a whim, while passing through Times Square, he decided to get a pictured ID card because, as he said to himself, you never know. Well, as it happened, the ID card proved to be a lifesaver because later that evening, NYPD had stopped him on 9th Avenue near Hell's Kitchen looking for a suspect in a bank robbery which resembled Bill Hensley, except for the height. According to police, the suspect in question was a foot shorter, which allowed Bill to narrowly escape and continue his journey to Canada, where he hoped to blend in with the rest of the lumberjacks. Thomas O'Herlihy was an idealist whose views had been shaped by the harsh realities of life under British rule. Londonderry was a hotbed of activities, both by the IRA, the Irish Republican Army, and the British military. Unfortunately, Thomas's father, had been cut down by the British during the Troubles in the 1970s and 80s, when Bobby Sands and the other members of the Irish Republican Army were on their extended hunger strikes. Big Tom was trying to avoid the conflagration when he became collateral damage. Little Tom, as he was called, despite his size, began to court danger by conducting lone wolf operations inside and outside Northern Ireland. Due to the audacity of his actions, he came under scrutiny from both sides in the conflict. However, thanks to his allegiance to himself, no one had a clue as to his identity. He was employed by the British and the Loyalists. And I'll tell you, the IRA was mystified and angry as Little Tom's activities were bringing not only good print, but also scathing indignations from the British authorities, whom were under impression that a truce or stalemate had been achieved and somewhat arranged. But now, all bets were off. And as the search and they were looked for, the authorities began to destroy, and the scourge would be renewed due to present circumstances and obvious circumventions of a prearranged arrangement. By Little Tom's actions, the British authorities were forced to pick up and to renew what had caused the problem in the beginning, the oppression of the people, the Catholics, you would say more so, because that's what Tom was in Northern Ireland. Little Tom continued the rampage, which consisted of small operations against all authorities, including the RIA. He was a rogue, ghostly, and so very disappointed with the curve of his life, diametrically opposed to moral turpitude and fervently religious. He was struggling with the scope of his actions and the damage it wrought. So far, his activities had only caused property damage to various industries and individuals, which dealt in death and destruction themselves. DuPont, Halliburton, Cheney, you know the one, VP, Karl Rove, Peter Thiel, and the Koch brothers. They and many others have felt the sting of his knowledge, because Little Tom, as an idealist, would previsaged the coming of the web, and thus was conversant not only in multiple languages, but also in codes, cryptology, and other forms of spycraft fascinated Little Tom's imagination. He read tons of books and magazines while honing his ability to hide in plain sight. Although a large person, he had the affinity to wallflower himself, as in some junior high school dance, where everyone is searching for shadows to help them hide from their various facial afflictions and awkward two-steps. Never on the dance floor would you see Tom. Little Tom became unassuming, preferring the cloak of evening while sleeping, plotting, and reading endless about new technology developments during the daylight hours. He kept mostly to himself while amassing data on those deemed worthy of his attention. As a master of disguise, this big man blended into any scene in a seamless manner, which was truly breathtaking in its simplicity and execution. Bill would explain it thus, quote, "The more you control your breathing, the better you become at stress reduction, which allows for fearless transition into any role, scene, or circumstance," end quote. In his view, Bill saw the world as a series of events, and by doing so, he was able to integrate, assimilate, and transform into any transmutation necessary in the performance of his tasks. Bill meant to make things right. How he did was an open question, too daunting, petrifying, and I saw myself as only a friend and not a moral barometer. Hence, I refrained from comments and gave carte blanche to Bill's intentions and methods. I was not, nor will be, the judge of man's actions, because when given free rein, men become tyrants, dictators, judges, know-it-alls, and more sadly, role models. Little Tom O'Hurley, aka Bill Hensley, and countless others, aliases, after 40 years of deception, risk taking, near misses, triumphs, and losses, began to see the spiral of his clock as it crept along, no longer chiming with the regularity, elan, and panache of years gone by. Maybe it was just the batteries that needed refreshing. But how do you jumpstart a man in his late 50s with countless injuries, maladies, and dalliances too many to fit into any pants pocket? How does a man such as himself reconcile his activities? Bill often thought of Carlos the Jackal, as the two often were confused due to their similar attributes. Now, here, he stood with so many memories to count, and the arc of his life once again came to the fore. Yes, Big Tom and his death marked him, brought the revolution of his making to fruition, and after so much havoc, there really wasn't anything to speak of. After all, destruction begets destruction, and kindness, we hope, will be someday reciprocated. As for his actions, no regrets whatsoever. Hensley was resolute in his belief that his actions, sometimes less than honorable, were nonetheless for a good cause. Late at night, Bill likened his status to that of Edward Snowden, whose WikiLeaks had exposed the netherworld which most Americans already knew existed. Frankly, why would anyone be surprised by the revelation that the intelligence agencies were prying, listening, and monitoring private as well as other phone calls? Bill felt somehow vindicated because he knew that the bigger picture was even more sinister. Most people believed that the Order of Freemasons was part of some Illuminati conspiracy. Bill Hensley, who recited in that negligible but very apparent to those who know what to look for, dark world of intrigue, subterfuge, espionage, and ruthless manipulations, and just cold-blooded assassinations. Little Tom, at heart, was a pious young man, brought up with Catholic values, which in his hour of need served him well, because Bill Hensley knew that if he resolved his pending targets in a timely manner, he would be able to make it to confession and thereby atone, seek forgiveness, and receive absolution and indulgences due to his largesse toward the good brothers and sisters of the Erringobrag Order. Bill Hensley, a.k.a. Little Tom O'Hurley, not only skirted legal authorities with the aid of said order, but also received a weekly package of holy water, which due to his observance and piety, he would use on his subjects before they duly departed. William Hensley, or Little Tom, as he preferred to call himself, due to his allegiance to Big Tom, dreamt idyllic scenes where he and his dad spent hours hiking the trails of his boyhood. And then in a sweat, he would wake, sweating, filled with nostalgia and a longing so achingly frightful that he would grasp his chest while heaving deep sobs, seeking redemption for all the pain he had experienced and wrought on so many others. As much as he tried to wrest the moral rectitude and tutelage of his formative years, it proved too much. Hence the need for tears to clear not only his dry eyes, but also his conscience. Bill learned, like so many others, that our youth definitely shapes our future endeavors, and the memories generated later on in life are definitely the result of those earlier actions. Bill O'Hurley, there will be more to come. Hey, Yankee fan, I'm back. Martin Espinal, the Exile Exhorter. You know something? I'm watching the game right now. You know, Yankees and Boston. We're winning 5-3. But the thing that bothers me more than anything else is why these announcers, all they keep harping about is how Boston was this, how Boston was that. Last year, who cares? Right now, 2019, what are they worried about? What Boston did or Boston didn't do now? All these excuses and whatnot. And if you look at it, last year, their manager, everybody was talking about this kid, Joey Cora, Puerto Rican. Very proud. God bless him. Played baseball. I remember him. You know what I'm saying? Second baseman. But, you know, light hitting. But nobody's talking about him. How he's such a great manager now. Because Boston has not been playing good baseball. Now, on the other hand, the guy who really deserves a lot of credit. And that's why I'm going to do this post. Because this guy, despite his personal failures, because everybody's human, but the guy that really deserves a lot of credit is the Brian Cashman. Yankees, come on. This guy's been there over 20 years. He's won, and he still wants to win. And this year, more than any time, he's been able to craft a team of misfits, in a sense. Come on, Kendrys Morales? Kendrys Morales played for the Yankees? Woo! Excellent. And you know what? He probably loves it. You know, because everybody wants to be a Yankee. Think about it. Cameron Maybin, playing great baseball, by the way. What's going to happen when Aaron Judge comes back and Giancarlo Stanton? What's going to happen to these guys? What's going to happen actually to Brett Gardner, the longest tenure Yankee? He's been there like 15 years and he's playing great baseball. The Yankees got such a problem that anyone who runs an organization would love to have. They have a wealth of talent. And right now on this play, you can see it today. This guy, DJ LeMahieu, is amazing, yo. But so is Gleyber Torres. And let's not forget, fifth inning yesterday, throwing the man out at second base. What an arm. Oye, ese muchacho Gary Sánchez no está fácil. Tengan cuidado. He may be going for an MVP year, yo. And he may also win what? The batting title. But Gio Urshela, the third baseman, he's leading the league. This guy was kicked around all over baseball. And I don't know where Brian Cashman, again, who we give a lot of props, Brian Cashman has been able to put together, to craft a team that is just amazing. How well they play. All the pieces are just falling into place. And you know what? As New Yorkers, you know, we always need something like this, man, just to give us a sense that, you know, because we like sports, man. We're crazy like people in Philadelphia. We take it serious like people in St. Louis, Chicago. We take our sports very serious, Detroit. You know, we're gritty. We want to win. It means a lot to us. I don't know why, but it does. You know, the Yankees, the Mets, the Jets, the Giants, the Rangers, the Devils, you know, the Islanders, the NYCF, you know, the soccer teams. And, you know, a team that really needs more support. It's sad. It's the ladies that play basketball, the WNBA, the Liberty. You know, we don't give them enough. You know, I mean, really, if you look at the news, they hardly get a mention. It depends on the sports columnist, I think. You know, some guys just don't care. Some guys, you know. But I'll say this to you. One of the benefits I have, you know, yo hablo español. Y, you know, una cosa que yo hago es que yo chequeo los otros canales. What I said just there is that, you know, one of the benefits I have is that I speak Spanish, so I do watch the other channels, and remarkably, you don't really need to speak Spanish, but if you watch Univision, you know, all the, you know, the other Spanish channels, even RT, that Russian channel, oh my God, you see a lot of different perspective on the news, you know what I mean? I mean, honestly. We, you know, we're force-fed some things, but forget that. That's not what we're here for. We're talking about the Yankees, yo. The Yankees are amazing. We're winning 5-3, and I hope we win this game. Herman did not do the job today, but you know what? He's a young man, and the moment is big. This is, after all, the Boston Red Sox. So don't get it twisted, brother. And sister. Until next time, Martin Espinal, the Yankee fan talking sports.